Welcome to Untapped Keg Sports, where I'm a disgruntled employee, RJ Zimmerman, here with my brother-in-law, Monte Ball. How you doing, big fella?
I'm good. Need my camera to focus in on me here. I'm gonna focus in all this way in. You know, I do know that it was a rough weekend for you and your and the Packers fans around the country. I know it was a very rough, very, very rough weekend. How are you doing?
Fine.
I know you don't want to talk about it. And here's the thing. My goal is I'm not rubbing it in your face.
But
my
that's thing exactly is, what you just did.
I can't really rub it in your face. I'm not really rubbing it in your face because you really didn't give me. You really didn't. Our last, you know, session or whatever, our last recording, you didn't really say, okay, yeah, the Packers are going to win. They're going by this much. They're going to do it. I'm putting all my money on them. You didn't really come with that edge. So there's not really much to rub in your face right now. I think it's just, when we go back and look at the game, there were plenty of opportunities for the Packers to win. Not win, but to take the lead. There are times for the Packers could have, they could have done something, man.
Could have
done something. I think here's the thing with the Packers. Excuse me, I just burped.
I think if they had Darnell Savage on the field instead of Will Redmond at the end of the half, that play doesn't happen. That play cost Mike Pettine his job. That play cost Mike Pettine his job because he put faith in Kevin King. That was the worst game Kevin King had as a Green Bay Packer.
That's what I was just about to get into. I never blame one person for losing a game, but it is very difficult to ignore Kevin King's gameplay, his play, his performance, and not ignore it. You can't overlook it. That play right before half. How does that happen?
Do you think
this what, 6 seconds?
Do you think this is the first time that they have done that before half in an NFC Championship game?
I'm hoping it wasn't Kevin King.
No, but this is the third time as a Packer fan they gave up a touchdown like that at the before half of an NFC Championship game. The third. And it's probably, honestly, the fourth time. It is the fourth time, I bet, in the playoffs that they did it. So to see that, it was just like, yep, par for the course. Knew it was coming. And I honestly didn't text anybody. As soon as the game started, my phone was in my son's hands watching YouTube, and I didn't talk to anybody. And I didn't say a word the entire game. I just sat there.
Here's the thing. I'm not a Buccaneers. He's still a little upset about it, which is normal. And again, there's nothing for me to rub into your face because I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not a Buccaneers fan. I was actually rooting for the Packers. My prediction was the Buccaneers to win, but I was actually rooting for the Packers. I was rooting for Aaron Rodgers because that organization wasted him. There's absolutely no reason that a quarterback of that caliber with that his abilities for one, to throw the football. We all can agree that flick of the wrist is remarkable. And obviously his brains early on in his career, of course, not really early on, you can even say year 10, you know, he was obviously more mobile than he is now. And it's just, they had plenty of opportunities to obviously make it there, build a team around him. And they obviously dropped the ball on doing that. And when you look across the field of this last game, when you talk about Tom Brady, when you talk about that offense, yeah, obviously you got Godwin, you got freaking Evans, you got Fournette, you got Gronkowski, you got a pretty solid offense. But they couldn't do it the year before. They could not do it the year before, granted. when sent through 31 interceptions, but there's something about Tom Brady.
Their defense the year before was garbage too. Their defense this year was very good. Like, they made some upgrades, and their young players, their second year players, stepped up. But their defense the year before was absolute trash, and their defense this year stepped up in a big way.
Last year, they led the, I believe they led the league in sacks last year. Shaq Barrett.
They still gave up the most points in the league. So,
jeez,
you can lead the league in sacks, but you're still giving up big plays. Like, your defense, that don't mean your defense is good. So, that's true. Dan in the chat just asked a really good question. Do you think that's the last game we see Aaron Jones in a Packer uniform? More than likely, I'll say. What he's going to get on market is more than what the Packers are going to be willing to pay, especially seeing what A.J. Dillon has done. A.J. Dillon's shown that he can not only pick up a blitz, which he did in the game very well, but catch a ball in the backfield. And I hate that Aaron Jones is going out that way, because he's been so good for the Packers. But that is not a good game for him.
Travis, I agree with you on that part. I don't see Aaron Jones coming back.
If he does, it's a team-friendly deal.
Exactly. As we all know, running backs, well, every single player is expendable, but the running back position is even more expendable. What I mean by that is, you know, it's a dime a dozen.
Well, that brings up a good question from Knee Brace that he asked during the Sunday show. And he asked to talk about the running back usage in the NFL, and specifically how the bell cow running back has started to disappear, and how it relates to racism, to systemic racism. He wanted your opinion on that. So we're going serious.
That's heavy.
Can I just say, before we end this, F the Packers.
Like I said, it's your passion. You make it easy. You make it too easy. Sorry, let me make sure my headband's up. But that, I wasn't expecting for that question to go that direction.
It was. He asked it during our discussion on MLK Day, and when we were going ham on that, and I was like, that would be a perfect question for the sports show. And it's like, you could see it happening, and we actually had this discussion. It wasn't on the podcast, but last summer when Christian McCaffrey got the big deal.
I was just about to say that. I was like, how much is he making again? I mean,
I'll look up the numbers.
I great question, Knee Brace. That's a tough question, because you really, what it is, you're essentially, what we're talking about is, we're talking about 32 general managers. It's like, are we?
But how many of them are black? Like, let's start there. And then the head coaching search is—it's just been unbelievably like white. Like
Eric Benigni. I can never say his last name.
Benigni.
I'm not understanding how he still doesn't have a head coach position. I had the opportunity. So this is the running back coach, guys. Is he now OC?
No, he's the OC. He's been the OC for 2 years.
Does he still deal with the running backs, though, for the Chiefs?
I mean, he's the OC, so he coaches every position. But I don't know how much he has his hands on the running backs. I'm sure quite a bit, but
right. Cause I met him in Indianapolis during the combine. He does all the drills with the running backs. And obviously, I had the opportunity to speak with him and stuff. And this guy is brilliant. And I don't even think they're, you know, it's not even debatable as to if he should be a head coach or not. He absolutely should be. He has put the work in, the time in. His, you know, the productivity speaks for itself. And I'm not understanding why he's not, has not gotten the opportunity to be a head coach of some sort or anything, which, I mean, history obviously states that the NFL does not want many black NFL coaches, head coaches. So I guess, Knee Brace, to answer your question.
So the fact that the running back usage has gone down so much, I think it starts with rule changes, right? Like when you saw defenders getting ticky-tack fouls for PI, DPI on the outside, and analytics, like, yes, you need the run game to be successful, but you don't need it to be so successful that, you know, you're running the ball 50 times a game.
Right.
Right? Like, I would say that's number one. But you look at, like, the Browns, and it works for them. But also, you, like, stats are showing that the more plays you run in a game, the, you know, more points you're going to put on the board. So the more, right. I mean, the more passes that you throw, honestly. But, you, I mean, you saw with the Packers and the Browns, like, the mix, it does matter. It does. It's just, as far as the contracts go, though, like, I'm having an issue because I thought, I didn't think Christian McCaffrey was going to be the highest paid running back for a very long time. I thought,
I thought that was premature. I thought that was premature.
I don't know. I don't know about premature. Like, dude's a baller, and how he was used in that offense last year, like, he deserved a pay raise. But
at the time,
for him to be as highly paid as he was, it was like, especially because, so McCaffrey signed a 4-year, $64 million contract. And right before that, Derrick Henry signed a 4-year, $50 million contract. So when you see that disparity, it's like,
yeah, that's
what? Not, like, not just like what spelled correctly, but what, like, WUT? Like, what? You know, I'm not putting like, hey, H in there. I'm saying, what?
Here's the thing, though. But Christian I don't think he was worth that much, but he is a phenomenal running back when you're talking about catching out of the backfield, or you're talking about lining him up even in the slot as a receiver, and obviously his ability to just run the football. I mean, he is an all-around gifted athlete on the football field, but obviously once you put that comparison up against with Derrick Henry, I don't like it. Knee brace, there's my answer. I don't like it, and I think that, and let's just be honest, it's a predominantly black position.
And the fact that...
What's up?
The fact that, you know, it's so obvious, especially after the year that we've had, and the NFL saying that they want to combat racism, then you go into all these GM searches, right, and all these... head coach searches.
Right.
And what'd you have? I think two black GMs hired, maybe, and one black head coach, maybe two. And Houston's head coaching hires, like, eye popping, like, that's okay. And now Deshaun Watson wants out.
Yep.
Like, I like to see athletes leveraging what they have, right? And getting these guaranteed contracts, right. Like, do it, get it, especially in the NFL where that, you know, injuries are so likely. It's just right now the owners don't care about racism. We're not in the interview process, but it's obvious who has the leg up.
It is
when they are,
it is.
Yeah. The Texans hire wasn't... He's white, isn't he? Pretty sure he's white. And I know the Jets hired Robert Saleh. He was one of them that I thought about that was a minority.
True.
And he deserved it. What he did with that defense this year was ridiculous. But right. Eric Bieniemy deserves a head coaching job.
Yes. And it's not even a question. That's just the running back position for you, though, man. It's not right. But just like you stated with Deshaun Watson, obviously as a quarterback, but with Watson wanting to leave, I'm really want to start seeing, and I'm getting excited because I really want to start seeing these players, just like you stated, get that, know your worth. Like we have more power as the players than the owners. So it's I want the same model like they have in the NBA. For the NFL, where the players run the league, because that's who the heck we're watching. It was the players. We're not watching the owner up there in the suite. We're watching the players. So it's going to take a long time. I think it's going to take a lot of work. I mean, we got, what, 10 more years, I think, for this next CBA to run out. So don't hold your breath on that. I'll say that. Don't hold your breath. Do not hold your breath. Did you listen to Aaron Rodgers postgame?
Oh, the Texans head coach hire is black. Thanks for the heads up, knee brace. I don't know. I was looking at pictures. He looked white. So I was about, like,
and I think, are you talking about who was that head coach?
David Cooley.
Who was talking all crazy.
Oh.
Talking all crazy.
Dude. The Lions head coach. Just let me tell you, Dan Campbell,
Lions.
I am so happy that the Lions hired him. They're going to be bad for another 10 years. It's going to be fantastic. Thank you, Lions.
Listen to his interview. What the heck was he talking about
in
his interview?
Punch us in the face, and we're going to take a hunk out of you on the way up. Like, what? Okay, that's not how football works, but I'm glad that's what you think.
You don't give that speech during a press conference, like, your welcoming party. You give that's a speech you give in a locker room. That's a speech you give pregame or before practice or maybe even after practice. You don't. It's the Lions for you, man. I'm telling you what, the Lions have been cursed. Barry Sanders' mom put a curse on that team. Her voodoo and all that.
Good.
Put a curse on. Do you answer my question? Did you listen to Aaron Rodgers postgame?
Yeah, it's much ado about nothing. You lose a game like that, playing as well as he did. You know, every single time there's a huge letdown, right? Like, you look on the other side and there's always people making plays on the other side. You look on that side, yeah, MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling had an amazing game. Dude, just amazing game. But
right.
It's like, I mean, Adams dropped a touchdown. Like, you just, you know, Jones fumbled the ball twice. It was just, and there was a lot of letdowns, but the defense created 3 turnovers that you did nothing with.
True.
So there's that too. But part of that too is play calling.
I don't understand why you guys, on that
long touchdown pass, the MVS caught right away. Like, there was DPI on that and there was no flag thrown. I'm like, okay, if this is how it's going to be, it might be a long game. And that's how it was. Like, that's fine that you don't throw that. And then they didn't throw it all game and it's like, okay, that's fine.
Right.
And then you threw it when it mattered. And it's like, okay, it absolutely was. But there were multiple, and it was the same guy who did it.
Yep.
There were multiple times that it affected the game that you didn't call it before. But when it was 3rd and 9 and it wasn't a catchable ball, you threw it. So, and you threw it.
I'll give it.
You threw it 10 seconds. Even Troy Aikman's like, that was a very late flag after Tom Brady complained a lot. So,
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to Packers fans because I usually always give, you know, some crap to Packers fans just because it's always in their back pocket. They put themselves in that position
at the same time. But at the same time, they also defense played well enough that they should have got the ball back for one last chance.
I agree. Because here's the thing. If the refs are going to let them play like that all game, this is reffing 1-on-1. At the end of the game, a deciding call, you don't call it. You don't throw the flag because that's reffing 1-on-1 because you haven't all game. I mean, that even goes for basketball. When you're watching basketball and they're letting them play rough, they're letting them play dirty a little bit. And you don't with 2 seconds on the shot clock or 2 seconds in the game, guy takes a 3-pointer, they need 4 points. You don't call a foul. So we can have a chance of making a 4-point game. Obviously, that's equivalent to what just happened in that football game where it's that first down that did it. And I will agree with the Packers fans that that is a terrible call.
I do want to shout out, though, like that, like third and two or fourth and two, whatever it was, play where they had nobody in the backfield and they ran that end around. That was an amazing play call. Like, whoever drew that up, give them a raise. If that was Bruce Arians, like, dude needs to get the I know he gets a lot of credit for how he is as an offensive coach, but my goodness, that was an incredible, incredible play call.
I want your honest opinion here. Why? Why do the Packers? And again, I'm not making fun. They're jabbing. You know, I think it's cool that, you know, Packers. I mean, Packers fans have the best, one of the best fans groups.
Quit placating and get to the question.
No, I do. I even said that in the league. We all know that. Even players in the league know. The greatest organization to play for is the Packers organization. People know that around the league. Question though, why do you think the Packers get why is it you get that close? Why is that outcome so common with the Packers? He's one in four. Aaron Rodgers is 1-4. Is that 1-4 in the NFC Championship game?
Well, I would argue that the previous three times they didn't deserve to be there, but they were there. It seems like
1-4.
This is kind of a cop out, but it seems like there's always like a key play that happens to Rodgers. Like the worst game that Rodgers played in the NFC Championship game, they won. That was the Chicago game that they went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. He played really poorly in that NFC Championship game that not a lot of people remember because the defense balled out in that game. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point where you could see it on their faces, like on that first drive. And it happened like, you know, when they went 3-and-out right away too. You could you're waiting for that one thing to happen, that one thing to go wrong. And when that one thing goes wrong, your mind gets down. And you're like, oh, here we go again. And then they give up that long touchdown pass at half, and they showed Rodgers, and Rodgers was kind of fired up because they should have had a touchdown. 99 out of 100 times, Adam catches that back shoulder fade.
It was a perfectly thrown.
I know. It was a perfectly. It really was like perfect. If you saw probably that exact same play, you know, eight different times during the season, he caught it every single time, but it just happened. Like, and then, you know, when Jones fumbled that and Tonyan recovered it, I was like, okay, maybe this isn't. This is going to be different this year, maybe.
Right.
But then it just wasn't. So. They scratched and clawed, and they got within striking distance twice, but they just couldn't close that door, especially after those interceptions. Like, dude, their offensive line, that was the worst game their offensive line played all year, too. Like, they really missed Bakhtiari in that game. That was the first time that you saw the presence of Bakhtiari be missed. So, like, I'm sick of listening to these radio pundits to say Aaron Rodgers didn't play good, that Aaron Rodgers didn't play well enough to win that game. That's total crap. Total crap. That's the easy answer. It's not
my answer. My answer, yeah, again, like you said, Adams dropped the ball. Jones.
But it wasn't fumbling. It wasn't that one play though either, right? Like I mean, it was a bunch of different things.
Kevin King lost y'all that game.
Yeah, and Chandon Sullivan had a really, really bad game, too, on the slot. Like, they both had – Chandon Sullivan all year has been a stud in the slot. Like, the Packers had a top-five defense as far as covering slot receivers. Like, their weakness was King, and King didn't play that bad all year. It's just that Jaire Alexander is such a stud that King looks bad compared to him. But King is usually a little bit above average.
King, and again, I rarely, because I played the game, I know one player can't 99% of the time, one player can't lose you the game, but this is that 1%. This is that 1%, and Kevin King lost his game. I'm sorry. When he mistimed that jump ball, it was literally a jump ball to Mike Evans. I mean, all he had to do
was push him out of bounds.
Mistime it.
Instead, he tried to jump and knock it away because he wasn't in position to make a play on that ball.
Mike Evans literally went like this, caught it, and like looked down at him. And then, of course, the halftime play. Those are two huge plays. The halftime play is the biggest, in my opinion, because that's 7 points right there at the half. Kevin King should not be returning. Let's just be real here.
He may not. I don't know.
And I hate saying, but let's just be real. I know for a fact, if everyone can agree, if another player was in that position, probably wouldn't have gone that way. It obviously there's an opportunity for it to go, you know, become worse. But
I mean, I can point to this in every single game, right? Like the game last year against the 49ers, they were never really in. They played the Falcons when the Falcons were a heavy number one seed favorite the year that they gave up that big lead to the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Oh, geez.
They were going down to tie that game. They were moving the ball at will on offense, and the fullback fumbled the ball on like the 7-yard line and gave the ball away, and after that, they could never catch up. And then you had the Seattle game where they should not have been in that game at all. They had a terrible team that year all around.
Yeah.
They go up big. This was like Devontae Adams' coming out party. All you have to do is recover an onside kick. That's all you have to do, and you win the game. And Aaron Rodgers is 2-3 in the NFC Championship game. He's made 2 Super Bowls. That's all you had to do. And we all know what happened. So, like, all these people could say Aaron Rodgers is not good enough, but, like, dude's been great. And even last year, he played really well in that championship game. It was the defense that let him down. You can't give up 400 yards rushing and win a game.
You can't. And I think when you look back on this game, I think it's that's a prime example of the quarterback did all he can do. And I think it's hard to dispute that or to debate that. Because he put the ball right there, back shoulder, perfect throw, drop. Obviously, he had nothing to do with Aaron Jones fumbling. Obviously, he had nothing to do with Kevin King's he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Obviously, he didn't have anything to do with, Fournette's unbelievable run where all 11 players missed a tackle.
That run by Fournette was unreal.
It was
like, I watched it and I'm like, that's the Leonard Fournette that got drafted at like 4 overall. Like,
yeah,
the dude still got something there, and maybe it's the healthiest he's been all year. I don't know, but
that's possible.
That run was nasty.
So I feel very bad for Aaron Rodgers. I really, really do. When I listened to his post-game interview, obviously he's already corrected himself, but, you know, we were all shocked after we watched that post-interview because he made the statement of, you know, pretty much he doesn't know about his future. Obviously he said it for all the guys, like, no one really knows. He said, myself included. So a lot of people took that as, you know, Aaron Rodgers ain't going
to
be back.
Right after a close game, like heartbreaking, your first game at home and you lose like that, like, I don't know how you could take that at face value. Like, that's, if he would have said it 2 weeks from now, that's different. But saying it right after a game that you lost that way, and it's like, yeah.
Kevin King lost out of that game.
It is what it is. I'm still not over it. I won't be over it for a full year. Last year's was easier to take it and, you know, walloped like that. I'd rather that than
the thing that upsets me. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's just the Packers on a normal day are a better team. That's what's hard about this.
Yeah. True. The Buccaneers just had you guys' number. They just had you guys' number, 2-0. And here's the thing for next year. So we can already say, let's just say Aaron Jones is not going to be there. You still have Will. You think Williams is going to come back?
No, unless again it's a 1 year team friendly deal, because they were drafted the same year. So yeah, AJ Dillon, either of them. Yeah, AJ Dillon.
And they'll probably get a undrafted
agent. I think they'll sign a free agent that good night knee brace. I think they'll sign a veteran free agent that comes on a pretty team friendly deal. That's what I think.
Like Adrian Peterson?
No.
You guys could possibly get JJ.
No.
You guys could possibly get JJ Watt, obviously, right, on the other side of the ball. But
I don't know,
man. I'm just trying to think of your Packers, because I you know, Broncos, our season was over week four. I mean, so I feel bad for Aaron Rodgers. I do feel bad for Packers fans, because that's you would almost rather be in the Broncos situation. Let's throw the white flag in week six. Let's just we're building for next year. You guys just
watching that Buccaneers defense
right there.
Watching that Buccaneers defense, and Devin White, right? That he's their middle linebacker. That's what the Packers have been missing for a very long time, is a sideline to sideline linebacker like that. Like,
since
they don't have that kind of speed. I mean, it's been like, I would say Nick Barnett, but like Desmond Bishop was good for a few years, but he wasn't sideline to sideline like that. They had
Matthews.
I mean,
when he was healthy,
Matthews was a very good middle linebacker. He just hated playing middle linebacker because he didn't get the glory stats. Like, he might have been a better middle linebacker than an outside linebacker. So,
what about Hawk?
Hawk was a fine player, but he wasn't like a stud star. Like, yeah, he was.
Right.
He was exactly what he was supposed to be, and that's it.
True.
Like Nick Collins and
you guys are
Woodson, defense, Charles though. Woodson. Like when you had those two the year they won the Super Bowl. Like that's what they were missing the next year, was when, because Nick Collins got hurt, right. And then they just never had that safety presence again until this year with Savage and Amos playing so well. Like, and then Alexander was the best. He was the best corner in the league this year. It's unreal. So
you guys don't, other than Kevin King's position. I mean, whoever's backing him up needs to really, really, really get some clock next year. But your guys' defense is really good.
Yeah, like, it's perfectly fine.
You guys just need another weapon on. Well, no, I like
no, they need although, they need another weapon. They do, like an outside weapon.
True, but remember what we said. I said we said it. I mean, which obviously everyone knows that at that game the Packers needed a second receiver to step up, some young guy to step up, and just like you said, whatever his acronym
Marquez, that Valdez Scantling, MVS.
MVS stepped up. So I'm trying to find where's the hole at from the Packers? Where is the void?
This is where it is, and you saw it for most of that game. If you're not scheming Adams open, and Lazard, a lot of the time, has problems getting off of press.
Right.
And then when it comes to contested catches, like, they just don't have anybody besides Adams.
That's what I'm saying.
Who makes consistent contested catches. Like, you saw that. Tom Brady would just, like, be under pressure, be backpedaling and throw the ball in the air, and then the Buck receiver would come down with it or knock it away. I mean,
Godwin. But that's
Godwin what I'm so and glad Evans. That up because, like,
true. I'm just going to just take this headband off. This thing's bothering me. But I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I was seconds from texting you when that happened, but I knew that you weren't by your phone, so I didn't. But the thing I love about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the same, but Tom Brady, what he did that game, Godwin missed a wide open pass. He dropped it, literally just dropped it. And then two plays later, I think it was, he comes right back to him. Middle of the field, streaking. Contested. It's going to be a contested catch.
Right.
Third and something. And still trusts him to make that play. And again, I'm not trying to, I'm not a Tom Brady, you know, jock sniffer, but
do you want
that
to
just
hear?
Shows the trust. That's a lot of trust right there. Like, okay, you just dropped a wide open throw, but I'm still going to come back to you. And I'll be honest, Peyton Manning's not one to do that.
I finally came up with why I have such a problem saying he's like the greatest of all time. He's the most accomplished of all time for sure. But I finally came up with why.
The most accomplished of all time.
Yeah, he is. He is easily the most accomplished quarterback of all time. He's a better Troy Aikman.
Tom Brady.
Always has the team. And then he always leads the big team. Yes, he does. His defense is always, and special teams are always very, very good.
The year they beat the Falcons, 2 years
the defense was not great.
Well, right. I mean, Gilmore is what, top two in the league, I think, cornerback, DB.
That year he was
in the league. He's a savage. I give you that. But having one strong and great DB does not make or break your defense. I mean, it's a plus, but. What about his receivers?
Watch those games.
Julian Edelman and I mean, really, who do they have in the backfield running? Don't get me wrong. James White is a phenomenal athlete, but he's an athlete. They utilize him.
James White is why they won that Super Bowl.
Against the
Falcons. He was the reason. Yeah. And that defense
but
in
I'm,
the second half. Like
you're choosing the Super Bowl. I'm talking the whole season. Like they don't have any real standout.
I'm not talking about the phenomenal. I'm talking about in the playoffs, though, because that's where he's called the GOAT. He's not called the GOAT because of his, you know, stats that he's run up over the years. He's called the GOAT because he's been to 10 Super Bowls. Like, more often than not, he has the exactly how he played on Sunday, which was very good, and they won, but they didn't win because of him. Like, he wasn't the reason that they won. Yeah,
you can
give him the ball with a minute left and he needs a field goal and he'll get you there. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers does that too 9 times out of 10.
Brady, I mean, we obviously got different views here, but in my opinion, it's not even debatable. I mean, when it comes to the overall player, the leadership, the stats, of course.
What leadership? Though, like, because he gets mad on the field, like, we don't really know how he is as a leader. I mean, you do.
I mean, let's be honest. I don't know. No, I mean, I was only there for like 6 weeks, but watching him on the practice field, watching him in meetings. But I know not every quarterback's like that. I can guarantee Aaron Rodgers is the same. I mean, you don't – okay, so here's the thing. You don't get to that level without being
– a great leader.
The same aspect. Exactly. I mean, you don't become an Aaron Rodgers. You don't become a Tom Brady. You don't become a Joe Montana. You don't become a Russell Wilson if you're not a great leader. So we can agree to that. This Tom Brady, man, I think when it comes to just statements, when he makes these statements that I'm just, I don't know, I'm young, but I'm just not familiar with seeing. I'm not used to seeing this. Oh, you guys think that Belichick is the reason why I'm winning or getting to the Super Bowl X amount of times? Okay, I'll leave. And granted, yeah, he goes into on paper, a darn good offense.
On paper.
But they didn't do anything last year.
Yes, the offense was very good last year. They almost made the playoffs last year. They were very close to the playoffs last year.
30 passing touchdowns. Yeah, and 31 interceptions. Correct.
All they needed was a quarterback who wasn't going to turn the ball over, which is Tom Brady.
Okay. How about this? Instead of me trying to explain why I think he's the greatest, I think we need to start asking people, why do you say that he's not?
Because of what I just said.
Because he's
a better Troy Aikman. Like a very, very good quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback, right? But Troy Aikman didn't win those Super Bowls, right? He needed a lot of help. And he got a lot of help. And I feel like
I feel like
it's the same way with Brady.
Okay. Well, how about this? Here's another question. I'll take that. The other question is,
How many Hall of Famers has Tom Brady played with? How many Hall of Famers has, let's say, I mean, Peyton Manning played with a lot of Hall of Famers too, but Drew Brees played with? How many Hall of Famers has Brett Favre played with? How many Hall of Famers has Aaron Rodgers played with? How many Hall of Famers? I mean, as I'm naming these names, it's a lot less. Yeah, both sides of the ball. Both sides of the ball.
I mean, yeah, that Patriots defense in the thousands era was was pretty
now,
good.
Now I kind of blew your mind out open a little bit.
Well, we both already agreed on that. I mean, that defense was ridiculous. I mean, Jesus, that defense was really good. But when we talk about receivers, though, what he had Randy Moss there for a season, I think what it was, or
yeah, but
my camera.
Look, Wes Welker was really, really good. Like
one of the best slot players, slot receivers.
And then Deion Branch was extremely good when he was there. Yeah, he was. Like for two or three.
Yeah, but he's not Devontae Adams.
No. Like Devontae Adams is the first player that Aaron Rodgers is playing with that's going to make the Hall of Fame. Like that's it.
Right.
So I mean, Bakhtiari probably will too, and then if Lindsley keeps it up, he very well could. But
I'm trying to think of.
But like, you run through like Troy Brown.
Driver.
David Patton.
Yeah, Driver.
Driver's not making the Hall of Fame, bro.
He's not?
There's no way Driver's
making the Hall of Fame. You don't think he's going to make
the Hall of Fame? No. Jordy Nelson's not making the Hall of Fame.
No, not Jordy Nelson.
Donald Driver's making the Hall of Fame. And he's not even close. Driver's. But like,
I gotta go check
and then
stats
they
out.
Added, who's that receiver for the Rams last year? Got the concussion, played with the Patriots for a few years, super fast, played with the Saints, got traded to the Texans.
Cooley?
Why can't I think of his name? Gosh dang it. I'm really mad at myself.
Rams.
Anyway, he was really good. I mean, they gave a big contract to him. And then he got traded to the Rams for two first-round picks. Like...
What team is he on now?
The Houston Texans. Brandon Cooks.
Robert Woods? Oh, Brandon Cooks. Oh, wait, Robin Woods is with the Rams. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's with
the Rams. Receivers are moving a lot. Okay, Cooks? Yeah.
Like, you know, all these players are very good. And then, you throw Gronk, and then they had Hernandez for that year. I know we don't like to talk about the name, but...
But he was a good player.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not agreeing with what he did off the field, obviously. But when we talk about him on the field, he was a good player. He was.
But then, like, they had LeGarrette Blount, who was, like, 20 rushing touchdowns a year.
He was a savage. I don't know what happened when he went there, but.
They put him on the straight and narrow. Okay. That's what happened when he went there.
Oh, true. Stop punching people. LeGarrette Blount, Wes Welker, Moss, when Moss was there. Deion Branch was nice. I mean, but we're still talking
We didn't even get into the defense.
Stark, I kind of look at Stark as a LeGarrette Blount in a sense when I talk about productivity. Stark was balling.
Who?
James Starks was balling.
The year they won the Super Bowl, and that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that long ago already?
Yeah.
Gosh, 2010.
He was fine the next year, but he wasn't like, he never had a good year. Like, everybody who thought he had a good year, like, he had a couple good runs, but it was a lot of nostalgia for that playoff run. It's...
Oh, your thing is...
But also, it has to do with coaching, too, because their OCs put him in a position to make plays as well, you know?
That's what I'll give you. That's what I'll give you.
Mike McCarthy...
All the others,
is terrible.
Mike McCarthy was trash. That's what I'll give you. I will give you the coaching because that's true. I mean, he had Josh McDaniels up in New England. Josh McDaniels is, in my opinion, one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think there's any denying that.
He's a genius when it comes to play calling, situational football. I mean, he's a genius with that. So he had him, and obviously Belichick. So I will give you that because it's a night and day difference when you talk about those two to McCarthy and who the heck was y'all's OC? Was it McCarthy? Was he calling the plays too?
Called the plays for most of his career, but you had like Joe Philbin and
who knows?
There's a couple other people. Exactly. I can't remember who it was, but
exactly. A bunch of Adam Gates.
Yeah, exactly.
Gases. I will give you that one right there. The Hall of Fame players, okay, yeah, but that's not really Brady's fault. Obviously the coaching's not
his fault either, it's good fortune. I'm not blaming him for it. Like he's had good fortune. That's awesome. Yes. That's great. That's why he's the most accomplished player in NFL history, let alone quarterback. You know, but you know, people are trying to put him in the same conversation with LeBron James. Like no, LeBron James carries people to the finals. Last year was the first year he had a full team since that Heat team.
Right.
And that one year with the Heat, he kind of did drag them.
I mean, I think it's – I love the conversation because I cannot disagree with you. There's no way actually any person on this planet can disagree with you.
But if you ask me who the greatest of all time is, I can't tell you who it is. I just can't.
I think that's difficult. I think it's difficult to say who the greatest of all. In my opinion right now, I think it's Tom Brady. But
3 years from now, we're going to be saying Mahomes.
Exactly.
But you look at those weapons, and it's like it's ridiculous, too. Like,
I'm glad you said that because Mahomes, I can't really – that's going to be the conversation.
If you look at his quarterback rating, Aaron Rodgers far and away had the record for a quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson passed him up for one game by like 0.3 or something like that. The next game, Patrick Mahomes qualified, and he beat both of them by 11.
Yeah.
He has like a 122.8 career passer rating.
That's incredible. That is incredible. That is incredible.
Like when you put it in that context, what? Like, and I mean, he is really good. He's very, very good. And Andrew Reid is a beast, and Eric Bieniemy is, dude. They're creative. They're so creative.
But I can't.
What Patrick Mahomes does is hasn't been done before.
But I'm right there with you, though. Like I said, the conversation in 3 years from now is going to be Mahomes is doing things that's never been done before. Is he the greatest of all time? I cannot give him that.
When he wins the second one in the row this year,
they'll probably start the conversation already. You got Tyreek Hill. Did you see him? Did you see him last game?
Yeah.
When he caught that ball and took off, even Shannon Sharp tweeted it out. Now, this is a receiver, Shannon Sharp, tied in, of course, but who's played with
Hall of Fame.
Many greats. And he even said it, that he has never seen a receiver like that. It's not possible. It should not be possible for a person to move like that. His game speed is faster than like his 40 time and stuff like that. It's when he caught that pass and hit that left and took off, I said, there's absolutely no way. So long story short, you got him. You got Kelsey. You got Allaire back there, who's a rookie who has a very promising future. Obviously, Bell, who's just a decent, you know, facilitator. But then you got Sammy Watkins. And then, I mean, that offense.
And then Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman might be faster than Tyreek Hill.
So I can't give exact. Robinson, I think he's there too, right?
I can't.
That's one of those where it's like, okay, Mahomes, you are a really good player, like really, really good player. But God dang, though, you have some of, if not the greatest weapons in all of football right now. In all of football. All. All of football. When you talk about, like, the firepower of an offense. Not saying that this offense is going to compete with a collegiate team. No, obviously, we're not saying that. We're just talking about firepower. That has to be the most well-equipped offense in all of football, and it's not even close. So my money's on the Chiefs, of course, but I'm rooting for the Buccaneers just because I don't want the Chiefs to win. But I guess I'm rooting, but not really. You know, whoever wins. Obviously, you don't have a dog in the fight, so
I quit football.
It's tough, man, and I'm glad I'm not a Packers fan. Like I said, I do give you crap about that, and I it's all fun and games, but I that would be tough, man. I mean, I feel really bad for Aaron Rodgers. I do, because what more can you do as a quarterback if your career passer rating is higher than the average of most quarterbacks, like season passer rating or game passer ratings? I mean, that's, what more can you do? That's just it right there. He just got dealt a crappy hand, man.
It's because we have bad karma, Wisconsin. Stop being racist. I was rooting for the karma train around because I'm sick and tired. The Bucks, Brewers, Packers, Badgers always getting on the cusp and then like gets ripped out from under us. It's karma for being bad people. We need to stop being bad people. Just because you're pleasant doesn't mean you're a good person.
I'm in that conversation when you talk about the Badgers. Three straight Rose Bowls, lost all three, and then and then the fourth one back last two seasons ago or whatever, lost that one. I don't understand what it is. And then obviously the Bucks playing super well, playing extremely well, the Milwaukee Bucks
defensively until they get to the bubble. The best defensive team in league history until you get to the bubble.
And they get to the bubble and lay an egg.
Or, like, I mean, they were up, what were they up? 2-0, 2-1 on the Raptors, and then they lost four straight. I think they were up 2-0 on the Raptors. And then you have the Brewers, game 7 at home, NLCS. They lost NLCS to the Cardinals. They lost, It's a lot of heartbreak in the state of Wisconsin.
I'm sorry. I honestly was. This was the first time that I was actually rooting for the Packers because, you know.
Why do we have to put me in a bad mood?
I'm a Brady fan. I think I like watching him have the success that he's having. But, you know, obviously I wanted to see a different quarterback in the Super Bowl. And I think it would have been awesome to see the Packers versus the Chiefs. I think that would have been an awesome game. I think the Buccaneers are going to roll over the Chiefs. I really do. Because Because when you watch the Chiefs, you can actually neutralize that offense. You can't stop it, but you can slow it down.
I feel like they get bored. I don't think against the Browns. Like if Patrick Mahomes didn't get hurt, I think they're on the way to scoring 38 points in that game, and then Mahomes got hurt.
That's true. I was just about to bring that game up, but that's true. I forgot he got choked out literally.
Yeah.
And that's true. I think you can stop that offense. So my prediction, and I'd love your prediction as well. My prediction for the Super Bowl is obviously the Buccaneers defense is going to stay far, far, and far, far, and far, far away from man. Far away. Can't go man because obviously you got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, but then Travis Kelce's going to eat you up.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Then you got the tight end seam route right down the middle of the field. So the defense that they will be best in, I mean, that's really
what,
any
what
type
they,
of zone.
What the Packers did to neutralize Tyreek Hill last year was they ran man, and then they had a safety over the top every single play.
Cover two men.
And
yep.
I think it was cover actually two cover good. One man is what they were running, but.
So that defense, I don't know. I don't know how you guard Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, without just being a boring, very noticeable cover three defense. You can run cover six, disguise a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know about defense. Obviously, I just know that they're not going to do a lot of man. I'm going to bank on cover six, but cover six sometimes is hard to see on the TV. As for the game, I got the Buccaneers. I got Buccaneers by eight points. Eight. What you got? I'll write this down.
Actually, I'm out of the prediction business.
I got you. So, I mean, talked a lot about, Jesus, it's 10 o'clock. Talked a lot about football right there. A lot about football. The Packers. Rodgers is coming back. I think you guys will still have a shot. I mean, your division is trash. Trash. I mean, if they pay Kirk Cousins, if the Vikings pay him, you guys are going to skip. I mean, obviously, you see the head coach for the Lions. You guys just got to worry about those Bears, but you guys got their number. Bears that just have a really good defense. Their offense is garbage. My gosh, their offense is terrible. You guys will be back.
Maybe.
You guys? I think you guys will be back. What else you got?
How's your soccer team been doing?
Man City. Man City's on top right now. Top of the league right now, actually.
Are they really?
Yes, indeed they are. Man City is on top of the league right now. I mean, I'm not going to really give myself credit there as if I've been watching every single game and noticing stuff. It's a lucky guess, but Man City has been on top. They actually had a really nice transfer, by the way, too. Man City did. But all is well in the Man City world. I believe, if I'm speaking correctly here, I think we took down Manchester United.
No.
No, that's the buzz about Manchester United. They're about there. They're getting the opportunity of they'll get the chance to sign former striker Eden Zickel. Never say his last name.
Whoever WBA is who you guys beat. West Bromwich Albion.
Yeah, right now Man City's on top. Then Manchester United. Then Liverpool is in fourth place.
With a big win today, getting out of the gutter. Big win today against a good squad, Tottenham. So, you know what? They're about to make their run. Here they come. Watch out.
It's true. You guys currently right now are only 4 points behind.
Yeah, it's a close race at the top. So
it is.
You're only 4 points. That was a big game because they hadn't scored. It's been a long time since they scored, and they end up getting three. So yeah, that was a big win. Get that basket off. Like, they were in a little bit of a rut. They're going to start having fun again playing soccer, and that's when they're fun to watch. So it's kind of like watching Brett Favre play when he's playing well. It's a lot of fun to watch a little kid play, and that's what they look like. So.
Gosh. Those sports that have so many games.
I know. Like
baseball.
Well, the thing is,
basketball.
They have so many matches, and then, excuse me. They have so many matches. It's really dry down here. Like, I keep getting it.
It's dry this way, too, but maybe because I have my fan.
So, it's really, they have a lot of games in, like, the Premier League, but then they have, like, the European Cup, and then they have, like, the Champions League, and it's like, they're playing in all these different things, and it's like, I don't get it. Is this part of Premier League?
Like, no. Does that game?
So what does this count for us? That one? Wait, does this exactly. That one over there?
It's like, no, that was just an exhibition.
It's like a bunch of 80 people came up with these soccer schedules, you know?
Right.
Like, hey, while we're waiting on this one, why don't we play over here in this one? And then, you know, we could have more fans there.
So, and then, you know, a bias, obviously living across the Great Pond, it's difficult for us to catch the games because there'll be a game on. 6 a.m.
I was working today, and then it seems like every time on the weekend I might be able to catch it, my kids need attention.
Right.
The weekend's the best. They're so selfish.
A lot of the times you'll catch a game, but you're at work during the week. It's like during lunch. but a majority, you'll catch it 6 a.m., 7 a.m. when you're getting ready for work, obviously just due to the time zone, time difference.
I mean, I
like soccer, though, but – Man City's on top. Liverpool, you can't sleep on Liverpool. My goodness. LeBron James made a good investment there. Jeez.
So, you've been paying attention to what's going on in baseball?
No, I'll be honest, I haven't. I've been actually paying attention to soccer now, obviously football.
But
I've been really heavy into the stock market.
Oh, you want to try to jump in on that GameStop? Is that what you're trying to do? Trying to get in on the AMC? That Nokia?
I tried to buy AMC last night. I had X amount of dollars queued for AMC this morning. Woke up this morning. Robinhood canceled it. What kind of crap is that? But anyways,
it's because they're trying to manipulate the stock market. They just screwed themselves.
That's bull crap. They did. You just told everybody that. It's a scam. We just flipped the tables. We just turned the tables around and using your game against you. But anyways, enough of that. We all know that that is baseball. What is going on, man? What is going on in the baseball world?
Yankees made a big signing.
Let me see this.
So they signed a pitcher, Corey Kluber, and he's a former Cy Young winner, perennial Cy Young contender. He's had some injuries like the past 3 years. Before that, he was really reliable. So it would be like, you know, that running back who's absolutely dynamic, but you know he's going to be missing two or three games a year. That's basically what Corey Kluber is. You hope that he can recapture that old magic that he had, which he probably could. He probably can. It sounds like his shoulder's healthier than it's been in 2 years. So he had a pitching session.
That's
pretty decent, except that's a really good comparison.
You knew he was missing a few games, and everybody's he's in a new system, but he just doesn't look the same like he did with the Steelers. But
yeah
I just read it. So that pitcher, that Japanese pitcher, he's going back to Japan. Did you see that for the Yankees? I guess that's obviously why they made their moves.
Oh yeah, Masahiro Tanaka. He's been struggling, and then he's also had some injuries. So
I can only imagine.
I heard he was contemplating it. But it does make sense, like getting closer to the family. He's also getting up there in age, so.
How much more money do you need? I'd go home too. I'd go home too. Might as well retire out with the Japanese team. Absolutely. Now, what else? What else is going on in the baseball world, man? What else is going
on? Yankees re-signed a second baseman who's going to lead off for them. That's pretty big for them. I don't know how good the Yankees are going to be this year. They might be the third best division team in their division. The Blue Jays have made a few signings. I think we talked about that the last time, though. The Phillies made a couple signings. They signed the best catcher in the league. They re-signed him to a big contract, so that was big for their team because their offense was looking like trash if they didn't re-sign him, but they got him, so that's good for the Phillies. Phillies are going to be solid this year. They were solid last year, too. They barely missed the playoffs. They should have made it, but their bullpen was, like, historically bad. So,
checking all this out right now, actually, as you were talking about it.
I'm trying to think who else. Hank Aaron passed away. You know, rest in peace. Big loss for the baseball community.
That is.
You read his comments about what it was like playing when he did and breaking the record of Babe Ruth. It's pretty sad. But I'm glad it was him, especially when you read about the kind of person he was.
Right. Touche. Touche. See what those Cardinals are doing, though.
That would be a big nutting. Yadier Molina ain't coming back.
Yeah, it's so early right now. Just so early in the season. Just
it's still super early. There's a lot of contracts that have to be sorted out. A lot of teams don't want to spend any money because they really didn't generate much for revenue last year from their stadiums and everything. So
I can't wait.
Trust
for
they made money last year off the TV deal. They just don't want anybody to know it.
I can't wait for, because obviously, yeah, once baseball gets into
March Madness season, is coming up.
I want to talk about that fan controlled football. You said that you sent me that text today. What, 16 days away?
Yeah. Four teams right now, which is perfect. Like, at first I was like, that's not very many, but four teams is absolutely perfect starting a league like this. And then all of the players are in Atlanta. They've been quarantining for 2 weeks, so now they start practice. I think they just drafted, maybe. They may not have drafted, so they don't even have the rosters yet.
Yeah. So it's, I thought it was, you know, football, but it's 7-on-7.
Yeah, it's going to be more like arena football.
I mean, it's tackle football though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Arena football's tackle.
True. I just, the whole 7-on-7 thing, I'm thinking, okay, hopefully we're not playing no flag football out there where they are or anything like that. So 7-on-7, the fans are calling. So when it comes to, is it a bidding process? Like, I can outbid you to become the coach for this team for this game, or do they just let the entire fan base just vote on the next play? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Probably everybody votes. They probably have like so many time before. They probably have like every team's gonna have the same playbook or whatever, and then you vote on what play you want them to run.
That's a brilliant idea. That is a brilliant idea.
You start with four teams next year. If it goes well, you add two or four more. Like, it's start small and build big. And I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, when it comes to fan engagement, I mean, the NFL already makes, and again, yeah, we're talking 32 teams in a well-established organization, that being the NFL. But it makes a crap ton of money because the fans already feel involved. Now you're actually this beta.
You got to be patient, though. That's the thing. Can they be patient? Can their investors be patient? That's why the AAF, which was putting out a really good product,
folded. It really was.
Because they had a couple owners who couldn't be patient. That's why the USFL, which was gaining in popularity and coming up on the NFL's heels, Donald Trump killed that. Like, the XFL, COVID killed the XFL.
Did. Out of all of those, the best was the AAF, right? The American Alliance. What was it?
AAF, Alliance of American Football, American Alliance of Football, something like that.
Something like that. I think they, I loved how they would do the interviews like on the sideline, like right after play. Like, that's obviously different than the NFL. And
last year, you know, in spring training, baseball did something new too, where they had people doing interviews and live on mic while they were hitting. And that was really cool. That was really, really cool.
That's pretty cool. I think the NFL should do that. I mean, they never will, but because they don't need to. But I hope that fan control league gets to where obviously the business plan, the 5-year business plan, illustrates. I hope it gets there, because that's a very unique way to have a football game, and I think that's a brilliant way to get more engagement. To really, I mean, people are going to be throwing dollars at that left and right.
Dollar bills, right. Y'all. Dollar bills. Oh,
it's like, if you're a fanatic of the game, okay, go do the fan controlled league where you get to pick your own plays. It's gonna be 4 verts every play.
If it was me, I'd probably be running bootleg every play.
They're going deep every play. You know it. Hail Mary every play. That's what these fans are gonna be calling. It's going to be exciting, man. It will be exciting.
Well, you got anything else you want to talk about?
No, man. That was good. I mean, we covered everything but basketball.
You got anything else, Dan, you want us to touch on?
Dan the man was watching me play some Rocket League today.
Getting your booty whooped? Dan says Kansas City by 21.
Nah. I like it. I respect it, but.
But not really.
The Buccaneers defense is really good.
I don't know about that, but.
But obviously.
So. Yeah. You know, shout out to Dan for, you know, chiming in and asking us questions. Shout out to, I'm assuming it's Gurley, Ghrly. Shout out to Feet for joining us. And then Knee Brace also. Great questions, great interactions there. Really appreciate Knee Brace's question too, because that took us in a really interesting direction that needed to be discussed for sure. So, yeah, you know, we hope you enjoyed this. Untapped Keg Sports. Find us on all podcast platforms, youtube.com/untappedkeg, twitch.tv/untappedkeg, untappedkeg.com. You know, shoot us an email, untappedkeg@gmail.com. We'll get back to you. Hit us up on Sundays at 9 a.m. for our flagship show where we talk about being sober and relating it to life. Ask us any questions there too. That's why we're Untapped Keg. So, where can they find you, Monts?
Yeah, you guys can find me at MonteBall28 on Twitter, MonteBall on Instagram. Again, you know, Untapped Keg pages on social media as well. Please send us a message. Even shoot us your phone number. We randomly give you a call to surprise you and talk to you for about 30 minutes. But appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us.
Yeah, you find me at It's Trickster, ITZ. The I is a one in Trickster. You know, Let's try to be better to each other. Let's try to make the world a better place. Starts with us. So what person is a person who doesn't try to make the world a better place? I'll leave you with that. Have a good night.
Good?
Yeah.